backdrop of a song, a Christmas carol song like Come Let Us Adore Him gives us that experience. The shepherds humbly approached Christ the child. Here are some words to the song. Born the King of Angels, O come, let us adore him. Glory to God in the highest, O come, let us adore him. In the middle of this crazy season at times, you know, have you stopped to take time to adore Christ the Lord, your Savior? This Christ child is recorded throughout Scripture. Have you stopped to worship God's gift of love given to mankind? To adore him, pondering that, what it means is the right response during the Christmas season, during this Christmas holiday. You know that we're going to take some time this morning in Luke chapter 2. We're going to see three different characters. We're going to look at the life of Mary, who stopped and adored her son that was given to her. The shepherds who rushed to go and worship the Lord. You know, you have Simon who took time to adore as baby Jesus was brought to the temple. And so these people adored him just as much as we should adore Christ. The question to ask is this: what if we took that time, if you haven't already, to zoom that lens back and focus on the big picture of Christmas? What if you took that time? And what if you look beyond the temporal and think in regards to eternity and concerned with eternal matters and maybe some loved ones, because we talk about those 8 to 15, that oikos, that God's placed in your path in your life. That's kind of part of the bigger picture. You have maybe that personal relationship, but do they? And concerned for that. And what if we respond to Christ's birth with adoration? Adoration for all that God has done. Look at Luke. Take your copy of the Word of God. We're going to be in Luke. And look at this passage here. It starts with Joseph and Mary, and you have them traveling to Bethlehem. And while Mary was about ready to give birth to the baby boy, baby Jesus as we know him, she wraps him in swaddling clothes, lays him in that manger. Not a clean place to be, but she did this, that feeding trough for animals. Meanwhile, shepherds were working in the fields, watching over their flocks. That's part of the scene, and it was something that they been waiting for, they've been anticipating. Meanwhile, the multitude of angels appears upon the scene, lights the night sky up, proclaims this message to the shepherds, filling the sky with praises and worship of the Lord. At that very moment, shepherds dropping everything, and they want to rush and see what's being fulfilled, this prophecy, the story told. They found him lying there in the manger, and what did these shepherds do? They worshiped him. They knew that this was God's great gift for all of mankind. This is where we pick up the story, so take your copy of the Word of God. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 16. But let's pray. Ask God's blessing on the Word once again. Father, we have a chance to come and worship you, adore you, to take time even this morning hour to reflect upon these truths that are found in Scripture. May your Spirit speak to each and every heart as you will. May your word be continually proclaimed throughout this land. We ask your blessing on our time. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. The word's going to be on the screen. You can follow along with your own copy of the Word of God. And they, meaning the shepherds, went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen and had been told to them. Move on down to verse 25. Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus to the temple. Now there was this man in Jerusalem at the temple whose name was Simon. And this man was a righteous man, a devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the customs of law. Verse 28, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to the people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what they had said about him. I highlighted two things, and I don't have time to get into it, but Gentile and Israel, God's people. This message, is a story for all of mankind. With just a few verses, we see three different responses to the arrival of baby Jesus on the scene here. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What's the right response? This is the question that we're going to be asking and challenging you guys to think about. What's the right response to God's gift of his son? How should we respond to his great gift? Jesus Christ being obedient, coming to this earth, born as a baby. The first character we see, and we're going to unpack this with, is Mary. When Mary looked at her firstborn Jesus Christ, her response was great love. What mother does not have that when they're born, their little one's born unto them? Whether it's a boy or a girl, they have this great love, for the most part, a deep passion and desire to just enjoy this little one that God's blessed them with. She wasn't focused on her surroundings, although she could, because she was where? In a manger, right? We didn't see her complaining. We didn't see that recorded. Instead, her focus was on the big picture. The lens, as I said, was zoomed back. And instead, her focus was on that bigger picture, and she looked at the things from that eternal perspective. God's fulfilled what he said. She waited for this to happen patiently. And now she's praising God for using her life. And so Mary's capacity to love Jesus started beforehand, long beforehand. And we're going to see that. As a young age, she transferred that trust to God and believed, you know, what was told to her was going to come true. So we see in Luke 1, she was greeted by an angel, and the angel told her that she was going to bear a son. And she was going to be, his name would be Jesus. And that he would be great, and his son, the Most High King. Knowing all this was about to happen, notice the response. And that's what we reflected on, Mary's response. How does she respond? Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She heard it, she believed it, and she rejoiced in it. And she found great joy in that. Luke chapter 1, verse 49-50. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me," referring to God, "and holy is his name, and his mercy is those who fear him from generation to generation." So those who have an awe of God, a reverence for God, and have a fear for God, celebrate. And God blesses their lives as they walk close to him. Her soul, her feelings, all her thoughts, we're experiencing incredible deep joy at this time. Inside her, she was probably jumping for joy, you know, ecstatic about this, and all because she seen and saw and zoomed and looked at the big picture. It wasn't about her. It was about what God was doing in and through her life. She was focused on eternal things, focused on God's hand in her life. The Mighty One has done great things for me. That's a young gal. I mean, we don't know the exact age of her, but she was young. Not along in faith, per se, but young. And yet, she had great faith. The next thing that we see, she was in Bethlehem and gave birth, and she had watched God work in the last 9 months in her lives through various means of directing and provision and protection. And now she watched over others to see how they would come and respond. And when the shepherds arrived, notice her response there. Luke 2:19. "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." And she's seeing people come and things being done in and around her. And she's thinking about those things. She's looking and observing this. The point is, inside her heart, she was taking a special moment and trying to preserve it, maybe mentally, and hoping to never forget this. And just the word ponder in the Greek means to bring all the events together. Get your ducks in a row, connect all the dots, combining them in one mind picture. In other words, she was connecting those dots and seeing how God had orchestrated from way back when. Kind of like how we've painted the picture several Sundays back and referring back to Genesis and sin and the fall of man and then Isaiah and his prophecy. And you move to the Gospels and you see these recorded accounts. You get to see the dots connect. You get to see God's sovereignty and his hand work. I didn't know if you have ever done this, but I've written down lists. I oftentimes would write them down and use them to reflect and ponder each event, connecting them, seeing how God's kind of orchestrated things and laid them out and have gone before us. As I've read those lists, I've got a greater appreciation for my Lord and Savior, for his hand of grace and sovereignty and mercy and protection. And then I sit there and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. The point being is this is what Mary was experiencing. This is what Mary was experiencing. She looked at things and her heart perspective and saying, Lord, I thank you greatly. She looked at the shepherds of worshiping her child and she combined it all and just as predicted, it happened. Prophecy was being fulfilled that very night. God did all this. She was amazed. And as a result, her capacity to love God grew. Just as hopefully yours and mine are growing. God did all this, and she was amazed. And as a result, you know, for all of man's greater good, this is going to benefit mankind, really, the big picture. One writer writes this. He states this. Mary's reaction was different than the shepherd's. She calmly took it all in and meditated over it in her heart, seeking to understand the deeper meaning of it all. When the shepherds came, they showed her something more about her son. And when the wise men came, they showed her something more about her son. Each experience shed a new light on the greatness of her son, of God, really. And so the point being is Mary took in the whole experience, the unusual birth, born a virgin, you know. Remarkable moment, a series of events orchestrated by God. Really a unique husband, Joseph, you know, just accepting it. I mean, how do you do that? Leading all up to this time in history, as she focuses on what God was doing, her heart became full of adoration, full of it, and full of a deep love. So God's work in our lives can be puzzling at times, not always smooth, you know. Sometimes it's difficult to understand what's going on or why is it happening. Sometimes we need to use discernment, and others we need to zoom the lens back and try to look at the big picture and see that picture. And really go back to God and say, Lord, what are you doing? What do you want to teach me? What are you showing me? What if we live life asking that big question? What's God doing? What are you doing, Lord? I still ask that quite often. Lord, what are you doing here? Why do you got me doing what I'm doing? You know, who am I? You know, in his eyes, in your eyes, Lord, who am I to you? What is it you have for me? What is the big picture here, Lord? What if we stopped complaining, which we tend to do, or be critical, and ask, what is God doing in these circumstances? Kind of like one of these writers I read once in a while is Bakaby, and he says, Lord, let me join you where you're working, because God's working all around us. And if you and I responded like Mary, treasuring all that God had done, and we'll do daily practicing of connected these dots, you know, the results would be way different than probably what we've been experiencing, honestly. We would focus on adoring him. The adoration would turn into joy, and then the joy would result in a greater love, a deeper love. It's the right response at Christmas time. It's the right response to the Lord, our Lord and God and Savior. It's the right response to others, because we're called to be what? Light in this dark world. And so what if the response to God's gift of his son was like that? The second character in the story are the shepherds, and we're going to look at them. And when the shepherds heard of Christ's birth, they dropped all and and they adored him. Come, let us adore him, it says. They immediately went into the presence of Jesus to see him, to know him, to worship him. And this was just baby Jesus at the time. And so even though they were busy, they left, they searched, they were determined, they were intentional, and they went straight there, Scripture says. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 15, 16. And when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So the angel of the Lord comes, proclaims to the shepherds, made known to them. Now they're going to respond. How do they respond? And they went with haste, in a hurry, it says. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying there in the manger. And the phrase, "let us go," really is, "let's go straight." That's the definition in the Greek there. And they travel a specific path. Nothing was going to stop them. No side trips, you know, no sidetracking. And they were in a hurry and they were anticipating. They probably heard some of the stories, some of the talk, some of the prophecies passed on generationally. No pit stops, no sidetracks, straight to Jesus. They wanted to be in his presence. I mean, the angels came to them. That would help motivate them a little bit. At a trip that happened over 30 years ago, time flies. Helen and I had personally went to vacation. We brought, if you will, a nanny with us and a friend of a girl that we've invested in. Helen had a chance, or I forgot who led her to the Lord, but she heard the gospel. She accepted him, and she lived amongst us for a while, and she's married to a pastor, neat gal. So we had her, this high school girl, and we were on this trip, and I get tired late in the afternoons, long drive. We're heading to Oregon, live here out in Hemet, right? And so while I was sleeping, this girl and Helen made a detour. They turned off the road of Ferndale, if you know the region up there, and they drove through all the Victorian homes, and they turned off that scenic path and experienced some more of the redwoods deep into the forest. And they figured if they didn't stop, I'd never know. If we don't stop, he won't wake up, you know. This was true. I slept through this little detour that they were taking. And when they had arrived at the KOA, which was, I believe, Petaluma, coming back down from Oregon, I'm thinking, what took so long? You know, I couldn't figure out why it took an hour and a half longer. Lo and behold, that was what was going in my head, and we were going to go straight to this campground, right? That's what we agreed upon. I'm going to rest. You guys take the rest of the trip. They were distracted, and we as humans get distracted, right? We get distracted, our cell phones, shopping lists, friends, family, recorded shows that we have to watch, and our eyes and hearts are distracted nonstop, nonstop. And the point being is that the shepherds were greeted by the angel of the Lord. This message was given to them. The whole night sky lit up. I mean, that's the scene. Just, if you just close your eyes, and sometimes as I say these things, picture these things, ponder them, think about them, with a multitude of angels, they got this message. And after getting that message, they had no haste, straight there. We're going to Bethlehem. We're going to see this Christ child. Their adoration for Christ child stemmed from God keeping his promise, really. Prophecy being fulfilled. And so moving to joy in their heart and the desire to worship. And as that night, God was restoring mankind. Remember, mankind, we're in a broken relationship. Sin entered into the world. And that needed to be restored. We need a redeemer. Jesus was God's undeserved gift. Adoration was the right response that night. The shepherds were moved to worship God. I'd tell you another true story here. A young woman with a newborn wrote this. Being in God's Word looks so different now, okay? Being in God's Word looks so different. She's a young woman. She has a newborn, okay? Took me 3 different sit-downs and 2 days to finish 1 day of study. So she had a little devotional thing that she did. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm thankful that the Lord is powerful enough to meet us in every season of life, like meet us right where we're at. He speaks, "May I be faithful to sit at his feet no matter what that looks like each and every season. Even if it's in the parking lot of a Whole Foods store, as my sweet baby finding naps in the car. What if we, like the shepherds, did everything we could to be in his presence? And zooming that lens back, looking at the big picture, wanting to be in the presence of God, listen to the story, listen to the events, reading the truths found in the scriptures, so we would read his word, we would respond in adoration, praising him for what he's doing and how he's working amongst us, leaving the grumpies behind, finding joy in the midst of it all. I know it's not an easy thing to do. I truly understand that. This is the right response, especially as we approach a holiday like Christmas, which is a time of remembrance once again. We see a different response, again, from another person and character in Scripture, found here, Simon. Simon's life, you know. When Simon saw Jesus in that temple experience that he had with him, he immediately responded with great respect for God. Great respect for God. And that word adoration in the dictionary meaning deep love, a deep respect. You know, showing great respect and great devotion. You know, this describes Simon's response perfectly, really. He valued the great length that God went. God kept his promises. It's being fulfilled before his very eyes. That was his desire before God ever took him home. Look at the character of Simon. Luke 2, 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. So Simon was a righteous man, you know, meaning his walk lined up with God's principles. He walked his talk. He walked with integrity, purity, character. He lived for the Lord. You know, this is Simon. He followed God's commands. He was obedient. His life was above reproach, really. And so no accusation towards Simon. Simon was devoted, meaning he had this great reverence, and he had this great loyalty, and he showed it and lived it out. He followed him, loved him, never gave up on God, anticipated what God was going to do. This was Simon. Deeply devoted, he was working in the temple, daily coming and doing his ministry. Simon was waiting. He was waiting. The consolation of Israel, meaning he was waiting for the Comforter. He was waiting for the Comforter. He was looking and waiting for the Messiah. God comforts his people. That's what we can know and live and remember about our God this season. Zoom the lens back, that God is a God of Comforter. And he'll comfort his people. He was waiting for that exact moment specifically. Simon was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in his life. The Holy Spirit helped direct Simon's life. Does he do that for yours? The point is, Simon was so tuned in to what God was doing that when Mary and Joseph walked into that temple, the Holy Spirit must have revealed, this is it. This is what you were waiting for. And probably spoke to him very personally. And so the long-awaited Messiah here, look at Luke 2, 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. So he had an immediate response in a way of kind of explaining things after Mary welcome people to worship. You know, there's this the period of time in the Jewish tradition they had him obviously circumcised, and 31 days later, the customary the parents to bring the child to the temple, the firstborn. And so it was a type of baby dedication, if you will. And so giving God honor and respect for their gift, the gift to them, the firstborn, was to be presented, but also a gift to all of mankind. To you and I. Look at Exodus, the words on the screen, 13, 1 through 2. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. So there's this relationship that God had set up with his people and this covenant relationship. And this was a custom in the Jewish life cycle, really, that when this happened, this is what we were to do. The fathers would take this infant son into the temple. they would be obligated to either definitely find a godly priest, and then present the child to the priest. The priest then would ask, what's your preference? To give your firstborn son to priestly service, or to redeem him? There's a cost, 5 shekels. What do you want to do, Father? The father would then state in his intentions, and they do an official exchange of funds, and his all this had a spiritual symbolism built into it. The priest would give the child a blessing. And so the point being is simply this. This is what Joseph and Mary were doing, presenting the firstborn, redeeming him, buying him back, just as Christ redeems you and I and buys us back. In the meantime, they meet Simon. Simon does some unique things. He took the child immediately and blesses God. Basically, Lord, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for keeping your promise. You know, you've done this, and I've been given this opportunity. Verse 29, and called him Adonai, Lord. Unique statement. Simon had seen firsthand Yeshua, salvation. And see, he ponders all this, and he responds to it. This baby would be salvation for who? All of mankind. That gift. Then Simon turned and blessed the parents. He blessed the parents. And notice again Simon's response. He immediately called him Lord. He immediately called him salvation. And he greatly respected what took place there. Jesus being in his presence. Prophecy once again being fulfilled. Wrapping things up, notice what Luke 2:33 states, and his father and his mother marveled. They were amazed at what was said about him, their son, about Jesus. And the parents were taking it in. They're zooming that lens back, as I said already. They admire God's work, his plan unfolding. They both were connecting the dots, I believe. Yet Mary wondered if anyone else would see God's big picture. Watch this video clip.
You can come in. He won't bite. He's just a small baby. A little shy? That's okay. I am too. Your friends left in such a rush to go tell the world. I think that's how they put it. And what a thing to tell. Did you know an angel visited me too? It's true. And he said that my boy would be great. The Son of God. He said that he would be the King of angels. The King of all. Do you think that they'll understand? Do you think that they'll come to worship him? Will they accept him? Let's just look around us. It's not exactly a palace, is it? Noisy animals. Hey, out of all things for a bed. And that stench. For everything that he is. Maybe this isn't enough. I find myself just watching him. Adoring him. I thought I knew what love was. Until he came along. My mother gave this blanket to me when I was just a little girl. A gift of love. I wore it out. When we were preparing for the trip to Bethlehem, I told Joseph I wanted to bring it. No, he said. We must pack light. I brought it anyway. The baby needs a blanket. Yes. They will come. The faith. How could they not? He was born the King of Angels. He will be great and mighty. He is all this and more. But when you go tell my young friend, be sure to tell them that he is an incredible gift of love.
Did you notice what Mary said? Did you notice some of those words that were used? She said, "Do you think they'll understand? Do you think they'll worship him? I find myself watching him and adoring him. I thought I knew what love was until he came." She realized it. That's the picture that was just painted there. You know, it made me think as I was watching that the second, third time, and I was thinking, you know, my prayer at times is, may they understand. Those that don't know who Christ is, what he's done for them. That's an appropriate prayer for those that are lost. Instead of focusing on the circumstances, what if we responded to Christmas like Mary did? The shepherds and Simon, what if we responded that way? And what if we pondered that big picture? What if we prayed for those that don't know him, that they would understand? What if we rushed to be in God's presence? I mean, actually literally choose to make time each and every day. What if we greet him with great honor and respect and awe? What if we turn our complaining into praising? Thank you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to complain, but Lord, I praise you and I just ask for understanding. As you walk away today, take some time to praise him. Find some things. Five different things. Lord, I praise you for this. Lord, I praise you for that. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the King. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence through prayer once again, and we thank you for hearing. We thank you for your word and the picture that it paints so clearly of your love for us. To the nth degree, your love for us, the deep love, the pursuit of a personal relationship, the message of hey, take time to adore. The message of forgiveness. The message of redemption. Lord, we commit this morning to you and all that was said and done. Bless it, we pray in your son's name.